You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30. This morning, I was joined by the former Palace and Charlton midfielder, Paul Mortimer. I went across Waterloo Bridge yesterday. They're all out there, the climate change activist.
Right.
And, you know, I do have some sympathy. I genuinely do. I think they're right. I think we're in serious trouble and we need to have serious and drastic action.
Yeah. I just don't want to protest about it.
But they do have a certain look about them. The activists, they do. It's sort of like a Corbyn rally, I'll be honest with you, right? There's a similar vibe. There's just a similar vibe to it. A slight, cult-like is the wrong word, but they just look a little bit... It's almost a religious thing, I'll be honest with you. It's a tribe. There's no getting away from it. There's no getting away from it. They said what they want it to be like Glastonbury is what they said. So
they could do with a shower. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they were going in really disgusting toilets.
But there's no drink involved. Though.
There's no booze or drugs or anything like that. There was no music really. There might have been some idiot with a guitar playing folk songs. He just wanted to crown him with it. Yeah, so my friend, blowing in the shut up. It's a bit too much of that feeling about it. But I sort of have sympathy with them. I do. And like I said to you yesterday, these cab drivers go, I can't do my work. Well, you know what? If it's 10 foot of water coming out down the average high street when the global warming and the ice caps melt, you won't be able to do your work then. So, I don't know. I sort of have mixed feelings.
Well, they've got nice weather for it, haven't they? I bet they're not moaning about that this weekend.
It's really hot. It's lovely for the climate change thing. That's right. In April, when it shouldn't be. Anyway, that's going on. So it's going to cause a lot of disruption to London tonight.
Yes, it is. All kicked off in the Only Fools and Horses musical audience the other day. They had to delay the performance because there was fighting in the crowd.
Fighting? Why?
Yeah. Doesn't really say. Papers haven't speculated what it was about. But yeah, it had to be delayed and people were chanting, booing, and they had to be dragged out. You ever had much fighting in your audience?
Loads.
Yeah?
Loads. All the time. I mean, it's kicked off on a regular basis for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes to do with me and sometimes not to do with me. The bloke in Brighton the other day, did I tell you about the bloke in Brighton? I was in Brighton a few weeks ago and he wedged himself behind a table. So the bouncer, I could hear him talking and the bouncers are trying to remove him. And in the end, there's like five bouncers got hold of him. And they're grabbing him and they're pulling him and it's all kicked off and he's going, help, help, which was funny in itself, right? And I looked at him and I went, mate, right? And after the third mate, everything stopped. It was really funny. The five bouncers were all holding you in different directions. It was like a sort of, it was like a Renaissance painting, right? And really, they were all frozen. I went, mate, your evening's over. And he went, well, let me just get my hat. It was very bright and the whole thing. And everyone just went, oh, go on, get your hat. But, yeah, it kicks off regularly. It does. I'm surprised in the theatre, but it's only Fools and Horses. So one imagine it brings out your fighting class. Shall I say the sort of people who might, like a row.
The Gorbachev governors.
It might not be your regular theatre going.
Wouldn't be allowed in the
should
regular
Should we go theater. And see King Lear with Ian McKellen? Or should we go down the Only Fools and Horses musical? I don't think it's a conversation that's happened ever.
Yeah, there's no scrapping on McKellen's watch, is there?
I don't think so.
No.
Yes. Because, well, people just, they're not scrappers.
No.
You know, they're not. They might fire servants, but they're not scrappers. Anyway, it kicked off.
That's Jane, it kicked off. Yeah, another story here. A couple have got married. Guess how much it cost them? This is for everything.
£4 billion.
No, the other way.
£5 billion. The other way.
It's a thrifty couple.
They're thrifty. They got married.
Average wedding cost £20,000. They managed to do it in
150.
£1,100.
Sounds like a great wedding.
Great wedding. Secondhand wedding dress, £15.
Good, I'm liking it.
Yeah, got it done at the registry office, which cost just £200.
You know what? A secondhand wedding dress, I think, is fine. Because basically what happens is people spend about £5 or £10,000 on these things and they never wear them again. Never, ever wear them again.
Yeah.
So I think
you just
ridiculous.
Recycle them. My daughter used her mother's.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought she'd just got married a few times, is what you were going to say.
No, used my wife's
I'm leaving
dress.
You.
Used my wife's dress.
Do you not love me anymore? No, no, it's not that.
You.
I just want to use her dress
use
again.
Your dress again.
Money's worth.
And again. And again.
My mate used to tell a fantastic joke, which I will. Mike Gunn, who said his missus kept a wedding dress. She says, I want to be buried in it. And he said to her, well, you better hope you die of some sort of wasting disease. He actually said that to her. Mike Gunn, a wonderful, wonderful comic. I would urge you to go.
With a broken jaw.
I've seen him actually.
Because he must have got a left hook there, mate.
He's funny. Yeah, yeah, she wasn't very happy with him.
God, no.
Yeah, but anyway, £15 for the wedding dress, £200 registry office.
Yep, £600 on a bit of food for the 70 friends and family.
£600 for 70 friends and family. It's about £8 each for food. Mm. I think that's fair enough. That's probably okay. Decent spread. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
give the priest a few quid.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Money.
Get something nice.
Get yourself something nice. Get yourself a new dress, son. Sorry about Notre Dame and that. And
you even had the hand movements there. Didn't you? No one will see it.
It went all only fools and horses. Yeah, okay. That sounds like a decent wedding. I bet it was a laugh, really. Yeah. The booze is the expense, though, isn't it?
Well, then you got £18,300 to spend on whatever you want. Then nice honeymoon.
Then you can spend, go to Seychelles for 4 weeks. Go and swim in the plastic.
Yes, you can.
Sorry, that's all sad. That's why the climate change activists are out there. Yeah. To stop that sort of joke. Anything else?
We know who built Stonehenge. Which nationality? Guess who it was?
Migrants. It was the Turks.
It was the Turks. They come over here.
They build. They put up stones in inconvenient places, miles away from the A303.
Can't speak the language.
Can't speak the language. Just put up stones and then leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Turks. That's right. I read that. There was different coloured hair and eyes.
In 4000 BC.
That's when it was.
Yeah. Right. It's arrived via Spain and France. And the hunter-gatherer British were completely replaced by them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were trying to build them, but our workers didn't turn up or something. Oh, right, the Turks went, all right, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll put up your stone circle. Anyway, that's it. Henge, actually. It's a henge. It's called a henge. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah, Stonehenge is a henge.
A henge?
Yeah, there's a number of henges around, and it's a Stonehenge.
What other? Okay. Can you name any other henges?
Well, there's probably, you know. I don't know.
Favourite type of henge.
What's your favourite type of henge? All right, anyway. I'm going to think about that now. Probably straw henges and things like that. Didn't last. Man United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says they won't be the only team undone by Lionel Messi in the Champions League. You reckon? The Barcelona legend scored twice last night as the Catalan side beat United 3-0 in their quarterfinal second leg and 4-0 on aggregate. Solskjaer's backing their opponents to go all the way.
With the quality they've got, you know, with the front three they've got, even Dembele, Malcolm, players there to put on, I wouldn't bet against them, even though I don't bet. But for me, they will be favourites to win the whole tournament.
Blimey. I mean, if they haven't even got Dembele on the pitch, I mean, what do you do? Johnny is now as a Manchester-based football writer, Mark Flanagan. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Ian.
Morning. Just too good in the end, right, Barca?
Yeah, after that incredible start from United as well, first 35 seconds, I thought we were watching Barcelona themselves. They were fantastic. I don't think Barcelona touched the ball when Rashford had that chance. It was nearly the best goal I've ever seen.
It was amazing.
It was incredible.
But
intricate, sophisticated, and then it just fell apart after that, unfortunately.
Well, Barcelona got the ball, didn't they? That's what happened.
That's it, yes.
We've sat here this morning, myself and Paul, talking about the fact that United need major surgery. And I mean major surgery. They've got to spend basically the best part of a quarter of £1 billion and offload quite a few players. I mean, it's a long road back, isn't it?
Yeah, I think when they play teams like Barcelona, it really highlights the sort of one-dimensional aspect of United. Last night, that you know, if the ball through to Rashford didn't work, that they didn't seem to have a plan B. And when you look at the players in midfield, particularly Fred, who they spent £60 million on, you know, he's a million miles away from where they need to be. They look ponderous. Against lesser size, they look okay, but in the elite level where United fans want them to be, they're really missing. I think five players, and I think the problem United have got is that their recruitment in the last 3 years has been so poor that clubs almost feel they can take advantage of United in terms of what they can charge, what players want in terms of wages. So they've got that working against them as well. Not least, they've got problems like with Alexis Sanchez and that huge salary that he's obviously got as well, so that causes him another problem. That's another dimension just to throw in. And obviously you've got players like Pogba and De Gea, and if they don't finish in the top four, Pogba's not going to want to stay, and De Gea, although obviously he didn't have his best night last night, we've known for a while that he's slightly uneasy. I think he's if they miss out on the top four, Pogba is definitely going to want to leave. The problem for Pogba is I think he's set his sights on Barcelona and Real Madrid, and I honestly don't think he's good enough. I don't think he's, you know, he's going to get into either of those teams, and that's going to be an issue for him and an issue for United. And an unsettled Pogba is something I don't think you really want in your squad.
Not again.
When they're playing Thursday night football in Azerbaijan or wherever it is.
I'm not having Pogba, but we'll leave that. Man City, big game for them. Can you see it all going pear-shaped for them tonight?
Do you know what? I said to a couple of friends, I fancied Spurs over two legs. I don't know why. I think the Champions League just could become a little bit of a thing for City. And I think the way that Spurs played so well in the first leg, I just think they're going to score tonight. And I just think the plays that they've got on the break with Lucas Moura and Mendes and going forward. I know they haven't got Kane, but some, you know, the pace here up front without Kane.
Yeah.
With Moura and Han Son-min. So I just fancy Spurs will score, which means City would have to score three. And I just think Spurs are going to pip them. I really do. I know they've got injury problems. There's no Dier. There's no Winks. Wanyama's come back. You know, there's no Lamela. There's no Dele Alli's a big doubt. But yeah. I just think they've just got enough just to cause Man City enough problems.
Mark, we will see later on. Nice to speak to you. This is a Manchester-based football writer, Mark Flanagan, talking about the two Manchester teams, one of whom are out. Man United are out, and Man City play Spurs this evening.
This is Love Sport.
Oh, let's talk about Wayne Hennessy. Never heard of the Nazis.
Do we have to?
Who are they? Hitler? Oh, that name's not familiar. What an idiot. Well, I didn't. You know what? This is our fault. This is not his fault, by the way. This is our fault for basically turning on him. And the moment he does a comedy Nazi salute to his German teammate, we all go, he's a Nazi, hates Jews. And we pillory him and all that sort of stuff. So suddenly he has to come out with his nonsense.
So he's
never heard of the Nazis. He has to essentially say, I'm really, really thick. So therefore, we don't then have a go at him. It's the only other excuse, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
As opposed to, it was a joke. He's German. What's wrong with that? Doing a Nazi salute with I've said this before on the show, but I've got to reiterate this, with the finger on the top lip, which I'm doing at present. That is not how Nazis actually do a Nazi salute. No Nazi has ever done a Nazi salute with a finger on the top lip, because that I think is quite disrespectful
to
Hitler. Which I don't mind in the main.
That's not a bad thing.
I don't think it is a bad thing. That's what I'm saying. Proper Nazi wouldn't want to be disrespectful to Hitler. You're not going to join Combat 18 or any of these other Britain First and then do Nazi salutes with a finger on the top lip. It's just not the way they do it. They would chuck you out. What are you doing? Isn't that how you do a Nazi salute? You don't do the finger on the top lip. Grow a moustache if you want to grow a moustache. Don't do a finger on the top lip. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, Wayne Hennessy's never heard of the Nazis. What an utter load of old top that
yeah,
is.
For anyone who missed the story, this is the Wayne Hennessy's defence to doing that picture where he was pictured. Max Meyer was the owner of the phone. It was the waiter taking the picture. Hennessy is the back of the picture, putting his fingers to his top lip and doing what looks to be a Nazi salute. He said in his defence that he was just trying to get the attention of the person taking the photo. And what he does is he cups his hand to his mouth and was shouting at the waiter taking the photo.
Oi, Fritz! Is what he was shouting, no yeah. doubt.
So you shout like that. Just...
Well, actually, his lawyers used pictures of him on the pitch where he is doing that same thing. He's cupping his mouth.
That's not cupping. You've seen the picture.
Yes.
He's asking us. Number one, he's asking us not to trust our eyes. Number two, he's asking us not to trust our intelligence of just understanding basics. Of course he knows who and what Hitler is. Of course he knows what he's done. But like you've said, because of the advent of social media and it's out there, okay, he's frightened to say, it was just a joke.
Is there any possibility he doesn't know who Hitler is?
At 32, travelled the world, played international football, played up and down the country for the succession of clubs. No.
Does it come up in team talks? You've been in dressing rooms. Does Hitler come up often?
Every now and again.
Every now and again.
Every now and again.
All right.
Well, some Nazi stuff comes up, and you
talk about Hitler.
The word Nazi will come up every now and again.
You'd imagine.
He said he didn't even know what a Nazi salute was. God. And the QC said, improbable as that may seem to those of us of an older generation, we don't reject that assertion as untrue. In fact, when cross-examination occurred, Mr. Hennessy displayed a very considerable, one might even say lamentable, degree of ignorance about anything to do with Hitler, fascism and the Nazi regime.
Right.
That's like Harry Redknapp saying, I don't know how to work the computer. That many moons ago. Come on.
Yeah,
it's insulting.
But if you're Wayne Hennessy and you've done it as a joke, and I think it's important that you're saying it is a joke. And if you do that thing, then there's nothing offensive about it.
And then he should say that.
But if he says that, then he's going to get a long ban. So you can understand
why is he going to get a long ban for a joke, especially if Max Meyer, by the way, because in the end, surely it's if Max Meyer came forward and said, I don't think he's a Nazi. You know, I don't. We know all about this stuff in Germany, and we've been
educated.
I would
have put him straight. If he was offending me, I would have put him straight. It's as simple as that.
Exactly.
If you'd made a joke about a black person or something like that, I would have put you straight.
Yeah, but if it's the same. If it was a joke about a black person and there was no defence and it was on camera and then it went out there, you couldn't say, oh, it was a joke. You wouldn't get away with that.
Slavery? I've never heard of that. Slavery? No, we wouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah. No, people.
Yeah,
you wouldn't
come
get.
Out
you'd
and talk
get a ban
about
then.
The context. The context at which I understand people don't even. In fact, the law doesn't even bother with context. To be truthful, it's about what's deemed offensive and what isn't. But in that situation, they were in a. And the thing that irritates me is that it's got out there, because what people do in their private in the private areas, I'm telling you, you don't want to know. But the fact that it's got out there for us to all judge, he's been judged by the court of public opinion now.
I think that's the problem, really. That's the problem. I mean, if you don't feel that you can just mess about with your mates and do whatever you want to do with your mates, these are teammates, and I'm sure they say things to each other in the dressing room that are beyond anything that we would find acceptable.
But I know them, and they know me, and we understand each other.
Well, it's a shame that the defense of it was a joke, it was to my mates, wouldn't work. But it wouldn't work in today's society, would it?
Well,
there'll be people saying
that
he's doing a Nazi salute, so he should get a ban.
You and I know you agree with this. It should work in today's society.
I do agree with that.
You know, and as a comedian, my God, if it stops working completely, I don't know what I'll do.
But as you said, the Nazi salute with the finger on the top lip.
It's not a Nazi salute.
It's a joke Nazi. That's the thing. It's a joke Nazi
and
salute.
I really wish he'd sit them down and say that, as opposed to going, oh, I'm really thick, mate. I've never heard of the Nazis.
Yeah.
I actually think that's worse. That's actually worse than what he did.
Well,
deny this.
He doesn't miss games.
He doesn't miss games, and now this,
I understand
this will be forgotten. He's found not guilty.
Yeah.
I won't forget he's thick. I'll be trying to, next time I'll be on the goal, I might do a joke Nazi salute to him.
He won't know what you're doing.
He won't know what I'm doing. What's he doing, that bloke? Does he want to call me over? Does he want something? I'm
not
a waiter.
The weird thing about it is, he's not in the side.
He's not even playing.
He's not even playing at the moment.
No.
Hasn't played for a while. Goeta is in goal. So he's not even playing. He could have taken his medicine. It would have been a couple of games. Could have taken his medicine. At least he's being honest. Because I think it's insulting at the moment. But then, you're right. He's doing it simply so that he doesn't have to miss games.
And clear his name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wayne Von Hennessy.
His name's as clear as
mud.
As
we now call him. Oppenfuhrer Wayne Von Hennessy.
What I will tell you is he will be getting it every day from his teammates.
Yeah.
They'll be bringing in Nazi memorabilia, everything. They'll do everything they can. I'm telling you. They will be absolutely at him, mate.
Your captain, and then giving him a swastika armband instead of a black one.
Honestly, they'll turn up at training.
Just for a laugh.
They'll turn up at training all with the moustache, all with the Hitler moustache. I'm telling you, stuff like that.
How ridiculous. Oh, well, anyway, he's got off.
Love sports.
Jamie's come back in. He's got some more stories.
Yes, I have. Let's talk about Lionel Messi on the back page of all the papers. Total Messi is the headline in the Sun.
Yeah.
United blown away is the Times. And the Mail just say different class. And he wasn't he? I mean, he was slightly quiet in the first leg, but then within 20 minutes the game was done, wasn't it, yesterday?
Still, he still made the goal in the first leg.
Yeah.
It was an assist for Luis Suarez and still occupied about four players at all time. But yesterday he really turned it on. He's better than everyone else and anyone else has ever been at football. I mean, I've said this to you before, Mortz. He rarely chooses the wrong option. when he's on the pitch, and it's all about making decisions, right?
Under pressure.
Under pressure. Right. And he always, almost always, delivers. Makes the right decision. If he has to head it, I watched him once and he was trying to get the ball and the ball was up in the air and he even headed it in the right way to try and give himself the most space.
It's what the best players do is they know. And they know. And what you notice with Messi is very rarely have you said, oh, he panicked. Oh, he got excited.
I've never said that.
That's what I'm saying. You never say it about someone like him because he seems never ever to panic.
What I like about him as well is that he takes like 10 minutes off. Quite regularly during the game. He'll do something amazing and then he'll just go and stand at the side for a bit and go and...
He said to his teammates, I'm just going to go and have a cup of coffee or
rest,
something.
Yeah. And then he'll come back and do something special. And his teammates absolutely accept that because he's better than anyone's ever been.
Yeah, 110 goals now, that is, in 133 Champions League games.
Yeah, stupid numbers. All the numbers are stupid.
599 for Barcelona. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All the numbers are mad. And long may it continue. And it's a privilege. I feel privileged to have seen him perform live on more than one occasion. He scored loads of goals against my team. And I'm never even that upset because you just go, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? He's an artist. He is an artist.
Kick him.
Well, yeah, but even that doesn't stop him. He never complains. I genuinely have nothing but admiration and love, really.
Yeah.
I just feel lucky to live in the time of Lionel Messi.
The thing about people like him is, you know, I think we're going to have to make up new words to describe him because you're kind of bored by what everyone is saying because it's just so familiar to us. Honestly, we're going to have to think of new words to describe him. He's that good. That, you know,
new words.
Yeah, the greatest. And we've heard the greatest, superlatively brilliant. I'm bored of hearing about that. We got to think of something else that's going to describe excellence.
Doesn't do it justice, does it? Well, should we talk about Man United instead then?
Oh,
could have been a bit different if Rashford's toe poke against the bar early on had gone in.
No. I think they were just poking the lion.
Just about to say that. It's the equivalent of poking the bear. Simple as
or
that.
Or a bear. Goals. Any dangerous
lion
animal.
And bear.
Squid. Poking the squid.
The shark.
And you get squirted, but it got covered in ink.
The alligator.
Any dangerous animal. A cat I had years ago. A right bastard.
You didn't want to poke it?
I didn't want to poke it. No. Just trying to give it a little tickle, and it just turned on me. That was the cat that got, you know, that came from the family, had been murdered. I told you this.
No, you ain't told me.
Yeah. Family got murdered and the cat was abandoned. We picked up the cat.
The cat see it all?
The cat, I don't know. It never spoke
again.
All
seeing cat.
After that, never purred.
Mute
cat it was. Anyway, that got right off the point. Poking the dangerous animal.
But yeah, you think it was only poking the dangerous animal, do you? You don't think it would have been a fatal blow if Rashford or McTominay had taken that ball into his path?
No. Yeah, that was a
moments
nice bit
after.
Nice bit of play. Man United put some nice moves together, but no, I think Barcelona would have just hit them again. They had a 1-0 lead from the first leg. I think if it was level after the first leg, I think it would have been more difficult. But 1-0 away, you just couldn't see United. And as soon as they got two, you thought, United need three. Well, there's absolutely no chance, which is when you turned over to watch Ajax.
Yes, you look at the team sheets. I'm virtually sure in the Barcelona dressing room, they'd have looked at the team sheet. First of all, they'd have gone,
who?
Yeah. And then they'd have gone, game?
And
they'd be rubbing their hands with glee, saying, well, if we can't beat these, then we don't deserve to. At home, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that team sheet, it wasn't the United we know. And Matt Dickinson in the Times is talking about it. He says, so much to resolve and it needs to be based around a clear plan, a vision of how United are going to play from here, which is where the appointment of Solskjaer feels a gamble, given that he doesn't have years of experience of team building on this scale and under this scrutiny.
Yeah, but who does?
Is that a point? Well,
who does?
No one perhaps has years and years. Maurizio Pochettino has built that. So, I mean, I don't want to go back to it. They've gone with Solskjaer now.
Yeah.
But were they too quick to appoint him on a permanent deal? Because Maurizio Pochettino does bring on younger players. He has built a squad. He does have way more experience than Solskjaer does in the sort of thing that United need.
Do you think... I mean, all right. So do you think that if Maurizio Pochettino was appointed as Manchester United manager, he would... He hasn't won a trophy at Spurs, by the way. Do you think the Man United will put up with him not winning a trophy at Manchester United for 3, 4, 5 years?
I don't think... Well, firstly, I don't think it would be 5 years before he won a trophy with Manchester United because he's starting with better players than he did at Spurs.
I don't think so, actually. I actually don't think so. I look at that right now, or even the Spurs team from 3 or 4 years ago, I think they're better than Man United right now.
Spurs are a better side.
But
Man United are better individuals. You know, Pogba on his day, Alexis Sanchez on his day. Rashford on his day, without a doubt, they have better individuals. But as a team and a unit and a well-oiled machine, I think Spurs are a better
proposition. Yeah, but whose job is it to make them a well-oiled unit? Yes, that's the manager's, isn't it?
But how long does it take? Because if Pochettino went to Man United, they'd have to buy him, first of all, because he's contracted. The more money you spend on someone, the less time they've got. So Solskjaer will have more time than Pochettino would have been afforded. Plus, what Solskjaer's got is Sir Alex Ferguson. So he's got experience in his camp. He has someone that he can lean on. And believe me when I tell you, that is hugely important. It is hugely important to have someone with that kind of experience to lean on. Ultimately, his name is at the head of the door. He's got to go and do it. He's not got the experience. That's right. It's a hell of a gamble. There's absolutely no disputing that. But that is where they are.
So you're saying still the right decision, even though since he signed that contract to make it permanent, United's form has massively dipped. You think that's still the right appointment? He's the man to change his team and bring in loads of players in the summer and build a new team?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's what he's going to have to do anyway. Manager would have to do it. He's going to have to do it.
You know what? Assuming they could even get Pochettino, if he's the one we're talking about, assuming they would, because that, by the way, would cost them another 40 million quid.
Yeah, yeah. Putting money aside for a minute, yeah.
Is he the right guy? Well, he knows the club better than most people. He has very good connections with all those people there. So he's certainly, he's steadied the ship in a lot of ways. He's done a great job. Whether he can move them forward, listen, only time will tell. By the way, on that substantive point about Pochettino, I'm looking at the Spurs squad from 2016-2017. It's not that different from the squad he had now, right? So he was starting with really good raw materials. Whereas I think if Pochettino came to Man United right now, he would have to get rid of half that team. Yeah. He'd have to get rid of Ashley Young. He surely has to get rid of one of Jones and Smalling.
Yeah, but
he's got to get rid of Alexis Sanchez. He'd probably get rid of Lukaku,
He's made some of those players good. You say great raw materials. He's made Dele Alli as good as he is, Harry Winks. Even Harry Kane he's brought, and he's brought all these players
how
on.
Long's it
so you
taken?
Can't say he got lucky with the raw materials.
How long's it taken? I understand what you're saying, but if he was to do that again at Manchester United, it's going to take 3 or 4 years.
No trophies for three or 4 years?
Man United, demands at Man United...
Will Solskjaer get trophies in?
Well, hold on. The demands at Man United are completely different from the demands at Spurs. Completely different. Man United have known... All throughout your life growing up, Man United have been winning the Premier League, okay? Spurs, in that spell, nothing. The expectations at Manchester United by far outweigh the expectations at Spurs. Man United are probably the second richest club in the world.
All these appointments are gambles. All of them. Yeah, I think someone like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they've only said they've said 3 years, right? 3 years for Solskjaer or 2 more years, whatever it is. Not long. I think it's the right move for them at this point. They've tried big name managers, you know, like Mourinho and Van Gaal.
Safe pair of hands and all that stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. But when Poch came into Spurs, the objective then was to make him a top four club, stabilise them as a top four club. He's been a victim now of his own success. Now they're going, oh, we want trophies. Because when he first came in, they weren't thinking, oh, we want to win the league, we want to win trophies, Champions League.
Well, I tell you what, they were, because the year that Leicester won it, they should have won it.
Yeah.
They should have won it. And for me, what that highlighted was that they will only, there's a glass ceiling for them. They will only go a certain level because they've got a chairman not prepared to put his hand in his pocket. With Manchester United at the moment, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is in the best position because he's worked with the players when they were doing well and not. He will now know exactly what he needs. More than Pochettino would have if Pochettino, because Pochettino would have come in the summer. He knows, having played the last 10, 12, 15 games, he can literally draw up a list. This is what we need. This is what we got to get rid of. This is what we need.
Yeah.
Okay? And if they back him, if they give him a 3-year contract, you're kind of hoping they will back him. There is no guarantee. Even if he gets every player he wants,
yeah, Mourinho,
there
by
is
the way.
Still no guarantee.
Mourinho won trophies everywhere. Turned up at Man United, stunk the place out.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have thought that was guaranteed trophies. Didn't work out. I think this is a really decent gamble for United to take on a young manager and see if he can do the business. And we're going to find out in the next couple of years, aren't we?
We are. We're going to find out the rest of the season whether they can make the top four. Now they've got Everton away on Sunday and then Manchester Derby midweek and then Chelsea at home. None of them easy.
Huge couple of weeks for Manchester United.
Yeah.
This is Love Sport.
We were just discussing Liverpool bought Philippe Coutinho for £8.5 million and they sold him for £105 million initial plus add-ons going up to £140 million. And with that money, they bought Alisson and they bought Van Dijk. Right. And that really is the model. You have to try and get them in young, hope that they work out and be brilliant, and then sell them on for loads of money. But to be honest, Arsenal did it with Anelka.
Yeah.
They bought him in for £500,000, sold him for £23.5 million, paid for the training ground.
But
is what they did.
But that's what you can do. I mean, if you look at Juve, players like Dybala, they may have to get rid of. They'll get good money for him. So there are some players at Juve that they can sell, get decent money for. The problem is, when you start buying top quality, wow, does it cost?
Yeah, it costs an enormous amount of money. Jamie has come in.
Yeah, do you manage to finish your plate when you go out for a meal normally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, yes, I do. In the main, I feel it's only right to do so.
Are you the same?
More often than not, yeah.
More often than not. Yeah. Apparently over 60s, yeah. Not that you two are,
yeah,
but they leave. That's all right. They leave more food on their plates than younger diners when they eat out.
They forget to eat the rest of it. We sort of just nod off, drift off sometimes. You know.
What am I doing here again?
What's this? What was this in front of me? You know. Really over 60s leave them. Well, because your appetite goes down. I remember going around my grandma when she was about 85 years ago, and she's still around, and she would eat. It was like a sparrow's meal. Mm. She'd have one chicken leg. And oh, no, you eat. All right, Nana, that's
I'm
fine.
Full.
Do sparrows eat chicken?
Mm?
Do sparrows eat chicken?
Yeah, they do. They really, really like chicken.
Do you know, it's illegal to feed a chicken nugget.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You can't be doing that.
I suppose are you allowed to feed sparrows?
It's cannibalism.
Are you allowed to feed sparrows chicken?
Yeah.
You can't feed a sparrow. Can you?
I don't believe you can. I don't believe you can.
You know this, Morse. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to give animals their own breed.
No,
I would actually believe that was the logical thing. You shouldn't do that anyway.
Why would you do that? Give a chicken?
Why would you give a chicken?
What is the, what the chicken go? What is this? You go. That is possibly one of your cousins. I don't think I'd enjoy it. I mean, I don't. You know, listen. Cannibalism is not. I mean, obviously, if you're in a plane crash and you're stuck in the Andes for a year or something, then maybe
you have to have a nibble.
Yeah. But other than that, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
and you start off with the meat eaters.
Yeah,
they got a bit of meat on.
Got
them.
A bit of, yeah.
The vegans might have to, you know, they might be all right. Although they'll starve to death because there wouldn't be anything to eat. So there is that. Anyway, can't feed a chicken a chicken.
You can't
nugget.
Feed a chicken a chicken. You can't feed a sparrow a sparrow. I do think it's a bit strange, isn't it? I mean, obviously, meat eating animals. It's all right for them to eat other animals, but the same one. Oh, no, you can't do that.
No, but you understand.
I do. I just feel like if you're allowed to feed a chicken a different sort of bird, then not a massive difference.
This isn't chicken, is it? No, it's veal. Oh, well then. That's all right. I know a veal isn't a bird, by the way. I do understand.
I did read online, though, that someone tried it and they said chickens love chicken nuggets.
Do they?
Yeah. So,
well, that's not right.
It's a bit mean. No,
it's not right.
No.
That is cruel.
Yeah, it's cruel.
It is mean. Okay. It is mean. But yeah, over 60s can't finish the meal. Are you going? You heading that way? Have you lost your appetite more than you used to have or not?
Do you eat? Well, you eat less because you're not an athlete now, right?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you would have eaten enormous amounts when you were
training. Enormous amounts. Can't do that anymore.
No.
Can't do that
anymore. Quite. He makes noises getting in and out of chairs. As it is.
You love that he makes noises.
What are you
noises?
Telling people my business for?
Honestly. Oh. Oh, I can't even imagine what he's like when he gets in and out of a bath. I imagine it echoes around the street. People from two streets away go, what's that? Oh, I'm also just having a bath. Oh. Endless noises. We have to turn the mics down sometimes here with all the noises that he makes. I try not to make the noises. I eat less. I do eat less, yeah. I do.
You suppress the noises.
Well,
so the noises are there. You're just lying to yourself.
No.
I'm just being me. You aren't. You're lying to yourself. Got to remember not to make the noises.
No,
got to remember.
No. I generally, at the moment, I don't make a noise.
No, he does his Pilates and his yoga and all that.
I do.
That's
stop him making
right,
noises.
Yeah. You drive the average age up in that yoga class.
It's just me. It's just me, to be honest. So the average age is me. I do eat less. Yeah, I do eat a bit less.
Yeah, all right. Well, there you go.
Do you eat a lot, by the way, as a young person?
Not a massive amount, no.
No?
I finish my meals when I'm out, yeah. But no, I don't
it's
eat.
A strange
some
thing
of my
when
mates
working,
just...
It's a strange thing, sorry, when you're working, because if you work, I work a fractured day. There'll be times where, you know, my wife Sharon will be in touch. Have you eaten anything? No. And I just
forget to eat.
Yeah, just forgotten to
eat.
Oh,
I don't
literally.
Forget to eat.
No, there's times where I've got to 7, 8 o'clock and like, have I eaten anything? I ate something at 12. But because you've got your head down, just honestly.
I've got mates who eat too much. They're fat mates, I'll be honest with you. But they eat too
Sorry
much.
Sorry for cutting you down.
I got one mate who talks about puddings like they're sexual. Honestly, he goes, he's talking about a baklava. He says, oh, I couldn't resist the baklava. That sweet, sweet baklava wiggling her backside at me. And I thought, you're sexualising pudding, mate. No wonder you're 14 stone overweight. Honestly, it's a bit of a worry, I think, really. Whereas I never sexualised the pudding.
Oh, thank God for that.
I've seen some good-looking blancmanges.
Do you finish all yours?
Yeah, I finished it, yeah. I had cheesy chips after the show the other
that
day at
healthy.
10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. That's when you know your life's spiraling out of control, isn't it? When you're having cheesy chips at 10 in the morning.
10 in the morning!
It was just after Cheltenham weekend, so I feel like sort of allowed. I was struggling a bit.
Is this hangover food?
Yeah.
Does it work? Big, like, massive, fatty, starchy meals.
I tend to feel a bit worse afterwards, but I just have the craving for it.
Right. Mm. Okay. Ooh. Well, resist that.
Yeah, I'll try to. Carlsberg's new slogan came out. Now, this is weird. I saw on Twitter
about this yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but I've got added stuff to it.
Oh, all right.
And not everyone might be listening yesterday.
Okay.
I wasn't
for a start.
All right.
There was a Twitter campaign they've got going where now they've promoting tweets which are slagging off Carlsberg. So they promoted one which I saw. I thought, hang on a minute, why is Carlsberg promoting that? Says Carlsberg tastes like bathwater that your nan died in.
Oh, nice.
And they promoted another one saying it tastes like breadsticks, stale beer.
I like breadsticks.
Well, yeah, but do you want your beer to taste like it?
Not particularly, but no. All right.
Like naan bread, all that sort of stuff. But they're promoting this tweet, and their new thing is...
Like dead naan bread.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, go on.
Their new thing is, probably not the best beer in the world. That's why we're changing the recipe. So they're going to keep it at 3.8%, but now they reckon it's going to have a crisper, fuller, pilsner-like flavour.
Right.
And that best lager in the world has been going since, I think, for 46 years. So they're going, maybe it wasn't. And people
it might
have
always... been back then, now probably not.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll have to see whether taste improves. I mean, you said you don't mind that much. I think it's
all right. It's not something I would necessarily go for first up, but, you know, if there's none of my personal choices, I think, all right, I'll have one of them. It's just booze, isn't it? I'm not having loads of them. That's the point. I might have one just to take the edge off.
Yeah.
You know.
Bit of a...
existence.
Bit of a slightly worrying story.
Oh, yeah.
The Chinese scientists have been up to it again.
What are they doing now?
You remember before they were trying to alter human genes?
Yeah.
And Western scientists said you shouldn't really be doing that.
No.
Well, now they've started putting human brain genes, the stuff that helps develop your brain, into monkeys. And it's getting a little bit Planet of the Apesy.
I was going to say.
Yeah. And they've been accused by just Western scientists of recklessness.
Have the monkeys made a statement? In Mandarin.
Yeah.
Well, that would be something. A monkey talking Mandarin. You go, wow, I want one at home. I don't even know what it says. It's brilliant, isn't it? Go on, nudge it. Say something else. I'd have that, wouldn't you? I'd pay money for a Mandarin-speaking monkey.
Yeah, that would be... Well, actually, that could be the way we're going because they have improved their memory ability. The ones who had this human DNA put in them, they actually did show better memory than the other monkeys. So
did they?
It is one step towards Mandarin-speaking monkeys.
I can't wait. I'll forego flying cars for a Mandarin-speaking monkey I can have at home.
You're all for it, are you?
I'm all for that.
Yeah. As you put whole human brains inside them, really, shouldn't they?
Yeah, do you know what? Whatever they want to do, let the Chinese get on with it. Anyway, anything else?
That's
no, that's it, isn't it? Really? Don't you want to get one of them Mandarin speaking monkey? Get one for Christmas.
I've got no words.
Okay, well, the Mandarin will fill in. The Mandarin, the monkey. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Love sports.
Could you explain that for me, please?
Yeah. It's the fact that Paul makes a lot of noise when he gets in and out of chairs.
No, I don't. One chair. I sat in one chair this morning, one noise.
That's, and you haven't moved since then.
Exactly.
Because you couldn't get up again. Even when he takes his glasses off. Oh, I put them on again.
That's just such a lie. My wife is listening to this.
I know.
She texted me and gave me grief.
Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
What are you doing to my marriage, you?
I'm not doing anything. She's just pointing out that you're making a lot of noise when you get in and out of chairs. That's all. You noticed Jamie. He just came in. Didn't hear a sound, did you?
Young, he's young now, isn't he?
Young, limber. He is.
Does your wife not realise? She's deaf. She must know.
Oh, after a while. You know what it is? You know what it's like? It's like when you live near a major road, after a while you don't hear the traffic. It's a similar sort of thing, right? It's the same with his noises, getting in and out of chairs. Bending down to get something at the bottom of the fridge.
all lies, fake news.
Anyway, what else you got?
Vinnie Vonopola has been reminded of his responsibilities by both the RFU and his club side Saracens.
Yeah.
And there is a story in the papers today about what exactly he did wrong. I mean, for those who don't know, he did a social media post after Israel Folau's one about how gays and cheats and drunks and liars will all go to hell. Vinnie Vonopola did one saying men and women were put on this earth to procreate. And now Martin Samuel was in the papers yesterday saying, if you're going to get a Pacific Islander in to play in the England national team, you can't say, oh, yeah, we it's great. We got a Pacific Islander who's a big, strong rugby player. That's exactly what we want. But then if he's got the similar views to other Pacific Islanders, which is that homophobia is a sin.
Homosexuality is a sin. Yeah. I, you know what? I thought that was slightly condescending.
That
when Martin Samuel wrote that, I thought, really? All Pacific Islanders? Not all of them think that way.
Bigotry of low expectations.
Well, it is, really. And we're talking about bigotry anyway, really.
Yeah.
And of course, it is bigotry. By the way, there was a piece in the Times today saying that that they were taught that bigotry, that particular form of Christianity by the colonials who went and occupied us, essentially.
Isn't that
we
weird?
Took the homophobia over there, taught it to them, and then they came back, and now they're slagging off.
Where
us.
On earth did you learn that?
Yeah, exactly.
And they've come over here, taken our jobs, and
listen, well, he's great.
And spouting all this nonsense.
It's nonsense. He's great at rugby, and just play rugby. Just don't start getting involved. I don't think. Listen, we know what he believes. I just think he wants to shut up about it. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, well, that's basically what he's been told, just to shut up about it from now on.
Yeah.
He's broken the kids' TV rule. So in their contracts with England, they've got something that says, if you're going to post something on social media, make sure it's suitable for kids' TV.
Oh, I heard it. Basically, what you do is, how would you feel if your nan read it?
Yeah.
That's what you post on social media. But maybe his nan doesn't like the gays. So that's slightly
different.
So it's
all right then, isn't it?
I agree with Billy. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Not normal. So, yeah, maybe you should just be quiet and then we wouldn't have to talk about this sort of stuff anymore, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, listen, hey, we've moved on. He hasn't, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine he will be quiet about it from now on.
Yeah.
And, yeah. There's another story in the papers from outside the sporting world. A teacher is remortgaging her home to raise 20 grand to fund an operation for her dog.
For a dog?
Yeah. I mean, how much? You both got dogs.
Yeah.
Vet bills.
Outrageous. Outrageous. But you know what? Yeah. You get pet insurance. That's what pet insurance
is for. Have to do that straight off
the bat. How much is pet insurance?
It's not cheap. I mean, I think we pay something like £35 a month
something
per
like
pet.
That. Yeah.
And so it's quite expensive.
Right, and that covers you for any sort
things. Most things.
Trust me, it's not expensive because the minute something happens to your pet, vet bills do not joke. They are expensive.
The dog had an operation and it was £700 and we got about £500 of it back. The cat had a cat scan, right? By the way, they put it in a machine. I said, that's a cat scan. They said, we don't call it a cat scan for the cat. But the cat had a cat scan, right? And those things, machines, they don't come cheap.
Yeah, well, they missed an opportunity there, haven't they, not calling it out?
I think they probably did, really. But these things are expensive and you have to have pet insurance and it's a necessary thing.
Yeah, well, she must not have it because she's had to remortgage her home for her Chow Chow, who suffers from a condition which has worn away her joints, so she limps and is on constant painkillers. And if you haven't got pet insurance, you love your dog. I suppose you would go to those lengths.
Well, there are places where you can get cheaper treatment. There's the PDSA, the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals, will help out. But I don't know. I tend to feel, to a certain extent, that if you get a pet, it should almost be compulsory, like car insurance, because in the end, you don't want the animal to suffer because you can't afford to treat it properly. I mean, it's a really difficult thing because I understand that if you're poor, you also want companionship as well. But there should be a way of sorting it out.
You have to do your research too. We had a golden retriever that was my daughter's, and we took it on, me and my wife Sharon, and didn't have a clue about dogs, didn't even like dogs. And it was, when you walk your dogs, everyone's an expert. Some experts out there said, there's something wrong with your dog's hips. We're like, went dysplasia. Golden retrievers, it's something that they have. Didn't have a clue about it. Had to have pills, and my dog had to go swimming, believe it or not. hydrotherapy every week. Cost us a fortune.
Hydrotherapy, Paul, for a dog.
Yeah. That, and the weird thing was, it's round the corner from where we live. Never known it. Our dog had to go swimming every week. Had to have therapy and swimming every week. And that cost us some... It wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
That was before we had insurance.
Mm. I feel for a woman. I do. It's tough. Yeah. It's tough because you want your companion, but you have to be able to work for the care.
Worth getting insurance.
I would say so.
Yeah, it is hugely important.
They reckon unfaithfulness can be judged from your face, but this is only for men, not women.
From your face?
Yeah. So you can spot a cheat.
You can spot a cheat.
If I come in tomorrow wearing a burqa, you'll know.
How does that work?
Yeah, basically a square jaw, strong brow and wide nose are the three features of a man's face that make it likely that he's a cheat.
Right. Wide nose.
I've got a wide nose because I'm a black guy. Does that mean that I'm a cheat then?
Yeah.
Yep. Right, okay. Yeah.
It does.
Well, from birth I was a cheat then.
All black men.
Oh, I see.
Is what we're saying.
It's what we're saying, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Jewish men, no. Long noses. Nobody will have us. That's what it is.
Yeah, they reckon it could be an evolved adaptation for identifying potential cheats and poachers.
Right. That's the biggest load of rubbish up. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm not having that much.
It's a bit odd.
You're not
it?
Having that.
Well, when you no, think you about know. the racial differences between us, and essentially, I mean, basically what we're saying is that Paul's more likely to be a cheat than me.
Yeah.
Based on purely evolution.
My nose.
It's just nonsense, isn't it, really?
So have you got a squarish jaw then? You?
No comment.
I'm looking
What's
at you.
Time?
You, Jay, look like you've got a squarish jaw. Does that mean you do a bit?
No,
then?
this is a round jaw.
I can see some corners there.
There's a difference.
I can see some corners there. So does that mean you do a bit as well then?
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
It is,
that's
isn't
a perfectly
it?
Fair point. And the only reason I'm my
the exception
face,
that proves the rule.
The only reason my face looks like this is 2,000 years of inbreeding. It's gone into that. I mean, we are. It's getting worse. It's getting worse.
Ridiculous.
It really is. You know, the glasses and the noses with the young kids at my school is ridiculous. They used to fall forward with the weight quite regularly. Obviously, you'd be in the playground, you just hear doof, and one of the first years would fall forward. And the older kids would go, "You have to lean back, son." We've evolved to have to lean back. And, oh, sorry.
Love Sport.
Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.